reading from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, chapter 7, text 44. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, I'm still kind of setting up here. Just wait with me. Be right with you all. Give me a second just to get comfortable. Rade, 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 rade. Asti tavad vidanim tat gamyate tvaraya dane santoshe de padoshe dya mayatvam modayushyate. Anyway, right now I have to go to the forest. Tonight at dusk, O bestow of satisfaction, you will enjoy with it. So it is Krishna in Mother Vrindavan talking to the statue of Sri Radhika, which in his mood of separation and out of state consciousness, which brought him to that place by Lord Brahma to revive him from the separation of Vrindavan by tricking him, that this another Vrindavan, which was made by the demigod Vishvakarma with a replica of all the flowers, trees, and people, birds of Vrindavan, just very expertly done, that it would gradually bring Krishna out of his deep and overwhelming emotional state that caused him to faint and sob and be in an uncontrollable emotional state, hoping that it would gradually bring him out. So you can read a few verses where he's talking to Radharani when I did my introduction. Prakshit Uvacha. Itam sa pushpa vikshepam vadandrisa dushokita tam sa chumbam nam alindya gagopai sangato vita. Krishna continued, having said this, Krishna threw a handful of flowers at Sri Radha, looked around, and then embraced and kissed her. He then went ahead to meet the cows and cowherd boys. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Daksu Vimalitam Yena Kaisvai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhushtam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Kuru Dhyasya Kripa Sindhu Baye Dhyasya Patitanam Pabanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greeting from Govardhan. I think in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says his mind shines. One of the months of winter, and winter in Vrindavan and winter in New York, quite a different thing. It's probably the most pleasant season. You know, you got in Kartik, it's very intense, very devotional, so many people. But there's a lot of people that are visiting. There's still people that are visiting now. But among the devotees, it's more the resident. Of course, there's quite a few people still here, I should say that, but it has a real, real charm. And for me, I get down to beautiful, regulated life here in Vrindavan, although I'm quite busy. Practically every day I'm organizing for some new people or et cetera to see Vrindavan. I, you know, after lunch, I take lunch at 1 o'clock, and some, I need to know people volunteer to cook for me. It's such devotion. It's just wonderful. And they bring over lunch, and then after lunch, I take a walk, and I go the back path. You still see some of the country forest ashrams. I know, you know, I know how to enter into the old Vrindavan. I always meet people who are disturbed by the urbanization and the first time they come and somehow arrange the next day to take them to the forest of Vrindavan and see the real cows. And Vrindavan means the birds. Vrindavan means the trees, the flowers. It means the cows. So Vrindavan's covered by a thin veil. A veil is something where you can't see clearly the other side, but if you look carefully, you can see it. Even it's covered by urbanization, by the process of Krishna consciousness, going into Vrindavan, concentrating on kirtan and hearing about Vrindavan, associating with devotees and worshiping the form of the Lord. Then somehow this out-of-focus picture of the spiritual world comes into focus. And, even I was walking, and I had a friend of mine, actually used to be my student, you know, maybe 25 years ago. And he became an incredibly, a pundit, a scholar. It's just how much these people know. And I just kind of met him, and I was taking this walk, that I say. And he said with so much conviction, you know, there is something about this dust. There is something about this dust. There's a fragrance of this dust of Vrindavan. And he said there's a fragrance of this dust of Vrindavan. Beyond the garbage, beyond the plastic bags, beyond the sewage, there's a fragrance of this dust. And then he said that you can only see it when your Krishna is old. And Krishna means thirst. It means thirst for selfish enjoyment. And we know what those desires are within our heart. When that Krishna becomes old, you know, and he said that, when that Krishna, that thirst for egocentrical life, the life of hankering for objects for your own pleasure rather than hankering for objects to be offered in love. And that's the devotee's vision. He sees the same objects, and he may even sensually experience the same objects, but his orientation to the objects is love. that objects should be made to offer in love and devotion. Patam pushpam palam payam yome bhakti priyachati. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if one offers me with love a fruit, a flower, water, a leaf, I will accept it. So, anyway, tonight's season. I think also now, you know, I'm famous for my long introductions. I got into that habit because I lecture here every day in Vrindavan, and the audience is changing constantly. So when you speak to an audience, you have to speak to one person, and you have to find a common mind among them. That's really the trick of communication. So often to bring to create a common mind, you have to build up a frame of reference and you have to go back. I came into that habit, but I'm seeing now, although there's hundreds and hundreds of people listening to this by podcast, at least they're downloading it by podcast, I have a core audience. And Hare Krishna, I pretty much know who you are because I get the numbers, not the whole phone number, but the first six digits. I get a list of, so I pretty much know who the people are, and I see I have quite a few steady people. So I think we can start going more quickly through the verses rather than long introductions. Having said that, I'll probably give a long introduction. I'm incorrigible, but you know, this is real. This is Leela. And what is Leela? Leela is play. Why does someone play? They play out of their own will and their own desires. There's nothing external to their own desires. A child plays. There's no cause for his activities other than one's own enjoyment. So that's the concept of God, that there's no cause for his activity other than his own enjoyment. So the concept here of the spiritual world that's being presented is a concept where the enjoyment of love is relished to the highest degree. And there's a potency or Shakti of God called the Leela Shakti, which arranges circumstances and arranges situations to create emotional experiences that contribute to the heightening of affection to the highest degree. And when you read Krishna Leela, you'll see everything's circumstance exchange creates some kind of emotional component of rasa or heightened love. So books like Bhagavad Bhagavatam, it's actually, there's quite a philosophical basis, but now we're up to the part where there's just Leela. And I've noticed in the presentation of Shastra, the presentation of Leela, that it's inevitably couched in tattva or an understanding of God's majesty or greatness. Krishna is God bereft of majesty for the purpose of infinite love. Majesty is a hindrance to infinite love because majesty invokes distance. Majesty invokes obligation, reverence, and fear. So Krishna, the fullest expression of divine infinite love, sheds the covering of majesty. And that's what we're going to read here, various intimate exchanges of love. But at the same time, before one's actually attained an intimate relationship with Krishna, there's two ways in which you can understand a person. You can understand the person by having information of that person. So you understand, oh, this person does this, this person does this, this person has that quality, has this quality. So one way of understanding a person is you have an understanding of a person. And another way you understand a person is you have an intimate relationship with the person that invokes that person to reveal themselves to you. And that's a deeper understanding. But if you don't have an intimate relationship with a person, it's hard to respect the person unless you have some information of that person. And it's the only way. So within these scriptures, generally, when there's lila, when there's pastimes, it's also couched in some kind of philosophical understanding of the majesty of God. Very often that comes in the form of someone offering very beautiful prayers. And the reason why it's important to, as we're understanding the intimacy and beauty of Krishna, to keep some cognizance of his majesty, it's a little bit of a subtle point, but the foundation of all relationships is dasya or servitude. And the cup in which servitude, is servitude. And servitude is initially invoked by Aishwarya or opulence or majesty. So therefore, to create the cup of servitude, the foundation of dasya, the mood of I am a servant, which is the foundation of all loving relationships, before our servitude, our mood of service is fully invoked by an intimate relationship, which is an advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, there's always some aishwarya, there's always some opulence, there's always some prayer, some understanding of God's greatness. Because the durya, or intimacy, the sweetness of intimate relationship, the foundation of it, the cup that holds that nectar of intimate relationship is dasya servitude. And that dasya servitude requires some type of majesty. And even in Krishna's lila, Krishna's pastimes, even in his intimate pastimes, although it never covers the intimacy of the relationship, just Mother Yasoda, she looked into Krishna's mouth and she saw all the universes, and temporarily she thought, my God, yeah, my God, my son is God. But then it could not cover, if Krishna does something great and powerful, it never covers the sense, oh, that this is my son, and my son requires my maintenance, my son. It only increases the love, the opulence. There's always a little Aishwarya opulence. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur described it as milk that is boiling in India when they want to cook down milk in a big pot, the milk is boiling. So to make sure that it doesn't overflow, they throw some grass in the milk. It has a way of making sure it doesn't go over the top of the pot. they throw some grass in the milk. And when they throw the grass in the milk, you don't see it if you look at it, but occasionally it'll come up. Occasionally it'll come up. So it's the same thing with Krishna's pastimes. There's just enough aishvarya. There's just enough opulence. There's just enough majesty to keep our respect for Krishna before we have our intimate relationship where we can experience Krishna directly. That's always there within the pastimes. Anyway, let's go and let's try to appreciate what's happening here, and let's just hear the story. Pretty good. I'm getting to the story quicker than I usually do. So we know that in separation from Vrindavan. By the way, I should just mention this also, is Vajikishore started a Facebook page for me where he listens to the lectures and he takes out different sound bites, sayings, different points that I make, and he posts it. So he requested to do this. He's done it. I'm not personally on Facebook, but he's done this. I see everything that's there. He shows me. But one thing he did that was really good, and if some of you know him, he's exceptionally bright and exceptionally expressive and communicative. He made a summary. He's going to make summaries, very, very short summaries, and he's such a good writer of the Bhagavad Gita. If you're not on Facebook, don't go on, but if you are, he'll make a summary so you can read and really get a sense of the context of the story. We know that Krishna has been in a catatonic state, uncontrollably sobbing in separation from Vrindavan. And when Lord Brahma comes, his plan to revive Krishna from that Buddhist separation is to bring him to another Vrindavan, new Vrindavan, outside of Dwarka, where Krishna is now a king, and to put him in the delusion that he's actually in Vrindavan. So they change his clothes, they make sure the queens of Dwarka and others who were not in Vrindavan don't come in the scene, and only those like Rohini and Balaram who are in Dwarka but were in Vrindavan come there, and Krishna's, they take off his kingly dress and dress him in his beautiful, take off the crown, take off the, you know, the royal dress, and dress him very sweetly. Oh, a peacock feather in his head. I mean, isn't that exquisite? Peacocks in Vrindavan, they dance for Krishna and offer their feathers. The peacock feather and the golden garment, the leather shoes and the beautiful lotus eyes and the reddish color in his palms and his lips, and his cascading black hair and his shark-like earrings, which are swinging to and fro, and his beautiful smile, and that garland of five types of forest flowers called the Vaijanti Mala hanging down to his knees. His threefold bending form, Trivanga. And, you know, his beautiful flute which he plays. And he's playful. He's the most expert dancer. We were reading the Kaliya Lila. And he's dancing on the head of the Kaliya serpent. It's the ultimate dancing. It's the ultimate dexterity, because the hoods of the serpent are moving. It's a moving stage with Krishna dancing on all the hoods of the serpent. So they put him in his dress of a cowherd boy. And he's waking up. It's 11 o'clock now. He feels that he's woken up late, and he is so under this delusion that he believes that his life is work as a king. And so much transpired. It's just a long, long, long dream. So now he's meeting the statues, which are not moving, and he perceives that Mother Yasoda's just been upset because she thought that Krishna was sick from waking up so late, and Radharani is perhaps angry out of some jealousy. But when Krishna sees Radharani, when Krishna sees Sri Radhika, who invokes within him the deepest sense of attachment and forces him to open his heart and his beauty to the highest degree. A person is not just a facade. A person is many things. And according to the relationship you have, you reveal different aspects and greater aspects of yourself. We can just think of our own relationships and various people in various relationships know more and more about ourselves and more intimate things about ourselves. So, by the force of one's love, one reciprocates with the revelation of heart. And because Radhika has the full capacity to love Krishna, and her love is she is the Radhika means one who can love or worship Krishna the most. And her love is so forceful that without her, even though Krishna is in the middle of the Rasa dance with the most beautiful women, gopis in the world, he can't be satisfied without Radhika. So what is the nature of her love? Even Krishna wants to find out about her love. Even Krishna wants to test her, taste her love. Even Krishna wants to be her to experience that love. So when Krishna sees Sri Radhika, even though it's a statue, and believes that it's Sri Radhika, his full heart manifests. Now, hiding behind the trees are Krishna's wives. Although they have an intimate relationship with Krishna, they have some reverence. Because Krishna is the king and Krishna is their husband. And therefore, there's a limit, although he's intimate with them, there's a limit to Krishna's intimacy. There's a limit to the revelation of his beauty. And it certainly comes nowhere near the revelation of heart that he gives to Sri Radhika. So therefore, when the residents of Dwarka, the queens, and even Krishna's mother Devaki see this aspect of their husband or their son that they've never seen before, a beauty of heart that they've never seen before, when they actually see Krishna, Krishna, who's all attractive, who is Swayam Bhagavan, God himself, God when God can be himself, they become overwhelmed with affection and attraction to Krishna that they have never experienced before. Now this is next verse's description of his mother. As Devaki saw for the first time how wonderfully and all attractively Krishna was dressed to Vraja and how he was playing the flute, milk started flowing from her breast in great love, even though she was no longer young. One of the emotional experiences required for a basic sense of love to heighten to the highest sense of love called rasa. One emotional experience is called anubhav, actions of love. And according to the relationship one has with Krishna, then there are different actions that come from that relationship. For example, if one is a servant of Krishna and he becomes overwhelmed with love for Krishna, he may pay obeisances. But if a mother becomes overwhelmed with love, she'll never pay obeisances. She'll give blessings. And not only she'll give blessings, but the mother, out of love, will offer her breast to feed her child and give it, and that flow of milk from the breast of the mother is an expression of love, is an action of love that enhances the love. So here, Devaki, seeing her son in his ultimate beauty in relationship with Sri Radhika, milk started flowing from her breast. This is a spiritual world. Every situation, every circumstance invokes emotions that increase love. The spiritual world, every circumstance, every situation invokes emotions which increase love. If you think of it, a perception, can there be any other perfection than a place where the heart is filled with love to the maximum degree? Can there be any other perfection than Vrindavan, where love is, where the heart is filled with love to the maximum degree? Can there be any other goal for an intelligent person than to find such a place, to live in such a place, to attain such a place? Can there be any other goal than to have my heart filled with love to the maximum degree? So this is the description of that. Every verse is rasa. There's a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the third verse of the Bhagavatam. Nidhama kalpitaragalitam palam sukha mukat amrita jadyasam yatam vidhita bhagavatam rasana. Vidhita bhagavatam. Drink this Bhagavatam. Drink this rasa. Drink this love as it's perfectly expressed in the Bhagavatam, which is nidhama kalpitaragalitam palam sukha mukat amrita, which has become so nectarian because it's spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, who is full of devotion and love. And by explaining these things, the sense of love even increases, and therefore is the mature fruit of Vedic knowledge. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known, Krishna says. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known. That's the purpose of Vedic knowledge. to know God in His fullest. So, in the commentary on that verse, the fruit of Vedic knowledge, Bhagavata, is the fruit of Vedic knowledge. Jiva Goswami says that fruit, even the seeds and skin, are not to be thrown away, because every part of that fruit is rasa. Every part of the Bhagavatam, every part of the Brihadbhagavatamrita is rasa. It's heightened and love. It's appropriate love that's heightened to the highest degree. So, commentary, Krishna has special ecstatic feelings with his devotees, as described in the previous several verses. This is the ultimate greatness of God. Specifically, Krishna's devotees have incomparable affection to him, which they show in their own individual way. Wow, the ultimate greatness of God is his personality. And personality means the reciprocation of love. Personality means feeling for devotees. Krishna's feeling for his devotees. Yatmini jambatatyaya pranutena karichit mahaprena gata mohandaya banyapatam shito. Rukmini, Jambavati, and other queens, bewildered by an intensity of love they have never felt before, lost their composure and fell to the ground. Now here's these queens. Their love has increased manyfold by seeing a special beauty in their husband, Krishna, that was manifest in relationship to his greatest lover. So when they saw the object of their love in his most beautiful manifestation, the intensity of love that came from their hearts bewildered them completely. An intensity that they never felt before. And as a result, Mohan, illusion, bewilderment, Darya, they lost their composure and they fell to the ground. Again, various ecstatic symptoms that are emotional components that heighten and nourish love to the highest degree, which is the ultimate reality. And that's what Leela does. That's what the circumstances and situations by the Leela potency of God makes arrangements and circumstances and exchanges. Commentary, Krishna's queens were noble ladies, careful to behave seriously in public. But the exceptional attraction at the moment they felt to Krishna defeated their gravity. They were accustomed to seeing Krishna dressed as a prince, not as a coward. Now they can no longer control their emotions and finally could not even retain their outward consciousness. They became overwhelmed because Krishna is all-attractive. I was reading today in the Kaliya pastime. It's really nice every day here. It's a great month, December. Really great month. Wow. I have such a good group of people that come. Each person is a gem in terms of their interest. And wow, one lady's been coming to my class. She's from Africa. And I met her in Mayapur last year. She came to some council. I forgot how many years Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami disappeared from. But she had such intense love for her guru that she's still in intense separation from him. As far as I can see, she's a very, very pure soul. And I went to the kirtan retreat, a 12-hour kirtan facing Govardhan Hill, and they gave her the mic, and I, honestly speaking, I'd never heard a singer like her. You know, she's comparable to Chitta Gopi. I heard the voice and the bhav that she has. Anyway, the just some experience here. And what is singing? Singing is the emotions in the heart expressed and that increase one's love. Anyway, I just kind of forgot my little train of thought there, but anyway, significant here. And even the old Padmavati became intoxicated, and she is the one that was always criticizing the residents of Vrindavan, and she's the mother of Kamsa, who had the evil king Kamsa out of wedlock. But she becomes intoxicated, driven by lust. She, as well as Satyabhama, acted out embracing and kissing Krishna again and again and ran after him, arms extended, to try to catch him. So the attractive part is overwhelming the discriminatory part. And that's the nature of powerful emotion. And this is the most powerful emotion because it's the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency. Kalindi, the daughter of the sun god, had seen Krishna like this before. Being very intelligent, she somehow calmed herself down. She and Uddhava grabbed Satyabhama and Padmavati and dragged them back. Well, Kalindi is the Jamuna River. So she's seen Krishna before, so she had a little bit more composure. Commentary, Queen Kalindi and Dwarf and the River Jamuna and Vrindavan are one and the same person. Thus she alone among the Dwarka queens had known Krishna during his cowherding day. This is at least the external reason why Kalindi in the situation was able to stay sober. But the fact is that she had to struggle to remain calm just to help Rama carry out his plan to dispelling Krishna's bewilderment. Kalindi caught hold of Satyabhama and Uddhava caught hold of Padmavati. Govinda Devas Tvanucharyam Gata Parastad Udatin Nariksha Tamanyamano Jamunam Tamodat Sabindahaya Samadhu Sakin Viharaya Samadhihava. Meanwhile, Lord Govinda went ahead tending the cows. When he saw the ocean before him, he thought it was the Jamuna, and with delight, he called his friends to come to play in the river. Commentary, the scene now focuses again on Krishna. The Arabian Sea looms Dwarka like a fortress moat, and its dark blue color made Krishna think it was the Jamuna. Okay, so I guess we'll just listen to some verses and just try to relish. There's two ways in which one hears the Bhagavatam and Rasa Shastra, Shastra that expresses the highest level of love. There's two ways in which one approaches that Shastra. And we generally have one or the other or a mixture of both. One is we get instructions. We develop our faith that the most sublime goal, the most sublime experience is to love God to the highest level. Right now, we're not convinced of that. Our faith is not mature enough. Our experience is not mature enough. Our understanding is not mature enough. And therefore, we have faith in other things as sublime. It's funny what we think sometimes. Someone gets infatuated and then develops faith. And the faith becomes almost a vision. If I get the relationship with this person, then I will be perfected and satisfied, I will achieve the goal of my life. But it doesn't work out that way, because it's actually not the goal of our life, and it can't reciprocate with our love for me, nor is it ultimately real or eternal. I get this position. I'm a brahmacharya. If I can get sannyas, I'm a sannyas. I can be guru. And I will be happy. This will fulfill the want in my heart and give me a sublimity. Faith is what you hold dear. So, because we don't yet hold Krishna with full faith as the ultimate object of sublimity, we don't have that faith in his name and his devotees and a life of service to him, therefore, we approach the Shastra to increase our faith in reality, the beautiful. But when one actually has faith that is matured, and it's not just I'm trusting in something, but I'm trusting in something because of the experience I have engaging with it. And when that faith becomes mature, then one reads the Shastra just to relish that faith, just to relish that relationship with Krishna. So now we're maybe not at that level, but we have an opportunity and a prayer to do that. Meanwhile, Lord Govinda went ahead tending his cows. When he saw the ocean before him, he thought, Govinda, with delight, he called his friends to come play. Kata, Kutra, Vayasata, Sridhamam, Subalarjuna, my dear friends, where have you gone? O Sridham, Subalarjuna, happily come here quickly. Vishnayam Payayitvada, Viharama Yatasukam, Maduramala Sitabu, Sahinyam Avagayata. We can let our cows drink water from this river Jamuna, and we can play as much as we want, swimming in our gently flowing, clear, cool water. Then Lord Achyuta went on further with the cows and near the sea, where mighty roaring waves came one after another. When Krishna looked around the sea coast, he noticed his own great city visible in the distance. Krishna was surprised and exclaimed, "Where is this? Where am I? Who am I?" So Krishna was in the his initial bewilderment is that he just went unconscious, to bring them out of that unconsciousness due to separation from the resonance of Vrindavan. Then they put him in the delusion that he was a cowherd boy by bringing him to New Vrindavan. Now they want to bring him out of that delusion, and they bring him to the Arabian Sea, and then he's in the consciousness that that's the Jamuna, and then he sees his palace as the king, and he's, what's going on? Where am I? Who am I? Where am I? What is this? Commentary. Coming out of the forest and beholding more clearly the vast water before him, Krishna saw the crashing waves and to the side of the distance a huge city. Addressing no one in particular, Krishna reacted spontaneously to these questions. What is the ocean in front of me? Is there such an ocean in Vrindavan, Vrindavan? Or am I somewhere else? But how can the son of Nanda Maharaj be somewhere else? Or am I someone else? If I'm supposed to be a great prince, why am I so unsuitably dressed? Astonished, he spoke these words again and again as he gazed at the vast ocean in the city. Then Balaram told him something. Commentary, Krishna was hesitant to decide whether what he was seeing was real or not. His elder brother had to settle the question for him. Sri Baladeva Vacha Atmana Vamitandehi Vaikunteshvara Matrabo Avitirno Sibhumara Saraya Japito Mare. Sri Baladeva said, O Master, Lord of Vaikuntha, please consider who you are. You were asked by the demigods to descend to remove the burden of the earth. Yada, yada. Bhavati-bharata, whenever and wherever this discrepancy religion, Krishna appears, millennium after millennium. So now they're breaking him out of the delusion that he is in Vrindavan. So, wonderful lila, wonderful pastime to exemplify the love of the residents of Vrindavan as the most forceful and intimate. Because Krishna's separation is caused by his love for the residents of Vrindavan, whom he had been separated from for many, many years. And Krishna's revelation of his full beauty is in response to his love for the residents of Vrindavan, which was invoked by the statues in New Vrindavan, Mother Vrindavan, which he thought was Vrindavan. So it's highlighting one of the main themes of the Bhagavatam and the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, that the greatest love, the highest love, is found in the intimate love of the devotee for Krishna. And the intimate love who's in the mood of Braja Bhakti, the mood of Vrindavan devotion, the mood of spontaneity and spontaneous devotion, that is not made feeble by a sense of reverence and majesty. And that's what the Bhagavatam presents. That's what the Brihat Bhagavatam presents. That this love is the sweetest. This love is the most intense. And this is the love that an intelligent person should aspire for. Okay. Okay. Are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Krishna, Gail.
If we have time, I have two questions.
Go ahead.
I understand your explanation of the need for awe and reverence, you know, as the fountain, because Dasyam is the foundation of all relationships. But I understand that more when it comes to the conditioned souls who are trying to develop love for Krishna. You know, in the beginning, we need to...
Okay, I got your question. I got your question. Yeah, but... What? Maybe I didn't. Okay, go ahead, go on.
Yeah, but when it comes to I think you call them Nitya Siddhas, like, you know, Mother Yashoda and those who aren't conditioned. Why? Okay.
Yeah, well, it enhances their love. It's just like the mother has spontaneous love for the child, but let's say the child becomes the president, right? The child does something great. The child exhibits, you know, wins an award, gets a Nobel Prize, you know, for science, you know, saves someone, does something very, very powerful. Then that enhances the love, but it doesn't make the love fearful. It doesn't change the love of the mother, that she's still the maintainer of the child who is an object of her mercy. If the child has a need, it doesn't change it. So it never covers it. So even in the spiritual world, even in the descriptions of Goloka Vrindavan, you know, Krishna does very great things. Occasionally. And it just increases their love. It doesn't cover it.
Yeah, I understood that point also, but I'm just saying, you know, why does it, yes, it enhances their love, but why do they need to have, you know, at least some knowledge of their, we need it, but why do they need it?
It's part of the, it's part of what increases love. It's part of, you know, Krishna's the object of love, but he invokes that love by his opulences. He invokes the love because he's beautiful. Krishna's the most beautiful. It's not that, it's not that the love becomes motivated, that they're loving Krishna because he's beautiful, you know. But the love is inspired. Once it's love, it's selfish, but the love is inspired. Love is inspired by Krishna's beauty. Love is inspired by, you know, whatever qualities Krishna has. But once the love is there, it's selfless. It's unmotivated. But they are loving Krishna. They fell in love with Krishna. They have an eternal relationship with Krishna, who is the perfect object of love.
Okay. Well, you'll be getting an email.
It's almost like you're threatening me, Gail. go to the next one, Gail.
Okay. They wanted to bring Krishna out of his illusion that he was Vrindavan.
Yeah.
Well, my question is, for one thing, why? And wouldn't they be afraid that he would go back to his, you know, catatonic state, you know, depressed state by doing that?
Say that again?
Wouldn't they be afraid, like Lord Brahma and those, you know, wouldn't they be afraid, or Lord Balaram, wouldn't they be afraid that he would go back, revert back to the very state?
No, they did it very, very, it's always a possibility, but the impetus is for it when we're now gone. The impetus for it was that intense discussion of Vrindavan and the resonance of Vrindavan. That was the impetus for his state.
Yeah.
So now their plan was very intelligent. They bring him out of that state, bring him back to the king of Dwarka, because, as it says, now he has to fulfill his mission to destroy the wicked and destroy the demons. And they'll be careful not to have Narada Muni come into the palace, looking for the greatest devotee, and agitate Uddhava's sentiments and his remembrances of what it was like to go and see the gopis, and then have, that discussion ensue of how much they're suffering. That's what brought Krishna into that state. Now they'll just, they'll be a little cautious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can write me two emails. Thank you. Okay.
Maharaj, do you remember the name of that lady from Africa?
Bhava Bhakti.
Bhava Bhakti.
Bhava Bhakti.
Okay.
I mean, I was counseling her. If she came to ask me a question last week, she takes care of his samadhi. She's been, how many years has Bhakti Tirtha Swami been gone?
I don't know.
Whatever it is, she's been an incredible, intense separation. And you look at her, she's pure. She's very, very pure. And whoa, what her voice has, the combination of exquisite, beautiful voice and musical and devotion. In fact, she was supposed to leave to go preaching in Nigeria a couple of days ago, but she kept on coming, delaying it, and coming back to my class. And she, was hearing me doing the Kaliya Lila in the pastime. I took them on a little pilgrimage today, and we were out in the forest of Vrindavan, and we were all just like in this beautiful place in the forest of Vrindavan, just looking at the beautiful trees and hearing the birds, and just looking at the trees as if these are the trees where Krishna goes in the forest of Vrindavan, and then told the people, I just went with a small group just to meditate what it would look like for Krishna to be there. And then have her sing Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Bindavan. Very beautiful. Special self.
Mm-hmm.
Special self.
Wow.
Okay, thank you, Gail. Would anybody else like to say hello? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Anand and Surit are here.
Hare Krishna, thank you for listening.
Thank you. Yes, Maharaj.
Great to have you on. I met you so many years. I met you, I think, maybe 15 years ago, and then I saw you at Janavis. Anybody else like to say hello today?
Hi,
Vishnu Guru Maharaj.
This is
Govardhan Bhakta. Hi, Govardhan. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Henry.
Henry, hi, Bo. I got a nice letter from Alex. He plans on seeing you this weekend or something, Yeah, he wrote me. I don't know. He's landing. You fly so high in Vrindavan, and then you got to go back to someplace else. But nice thing is, someone sent me a good DVD of the drama. So I'll be able to show people what our drama was in Govardhan. The amazing thing is, at the end, I've never seen an ovation like this at the end of a drama or even a kirtan. People were just really, they just loved it. So I think you all appreciate that. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hi, Bo. Nanda Vilal. Relishing the Krishna Leela?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Good. Somebody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
People,
Maharaj. Okay, Carl?
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Carl, okay, we'll see you soon.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes.
It's just so nice to be here because I get to meet so many people. Is that Mother Indrani?
Yes, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Nice to hear your... Do you know your god sister, Baba Bhakti?
Yes. Yes, I'm getting so excited. I remember she spent time at Devanagari. Her days left in 2005.
Okay.
2005. She's a beautiful soul.
Isn't she?
Yes.
She really is. I was glad that she came to my classes and came out on Trikram. You know.
Okay.
She really has Guru Nishtha. Okay.
All right. Yes. My love, please.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Anybody
else like to say hello?
Hi,
hey, Kachakra. What's going on down there in Boston?
No news, really. We're just waiting, so.
Wow, okay.
I once heard
a
fact
which said, waiting is the greatest surrender. The surrender means what? The Krishna's will. You know, that's the greatest. And the will of Krishna that's the most difficult for us is waiting. So, anyway, my blessings and greetings from Vrindavan to Mr. Seva. Okay? And, it's great. Okay, Akitoka, thanks for coming on. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. It's just nice to me, you know, because it's really something to give a class when you can't see people. So I have to envision the audience. And just a, you know, little hello here from a few people, it helps me to create the collective mind of the audience that's necessary to the class. Okay, let's all give our prayers and blessings to Nitya Sevane Chakra. We're expecting the first child any moment, hour, and day. Jai, Jai, Jira, Adhe. That's all we hear. Hare Krishna.